You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi guys, it's Josh Lloyd back with another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break episode. Today we're going to be looking at some overvalued and undervalued players, which you can translate into buy low and sell high, and doing a fantasy check-in on three teams, the Orlando Magic, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Phoenix Suns.
Let's get to it,
All right, guys, let's have a look at some players who I believe are underperforming and overperforming, which might be able or enable you to be able to acquire them as buy low or get rid of them as sell high players. Let's start with the underperforming players. At the start, we're looking at their performances over the last 2 weeks, and the first one I want to talk about is Aaron Gordon, who's the 130th ranked player over that time frame. He's shooting really poorly. Now, he's not a great shooter, but 37% from the field and 64% from the line has really dipped his value. 34 minutes, but only 14 and 7, no defensive numbers. The assists are nice from Gordon, but those efficiency numbers have dropped him 50, 60 spots perhaps in his overall ranking. People get really sensitive to one-game samples of weeks. Oh, he's killing my free throw percentage. He's killing my field goal percentage, and they can really overreact to that. So trying to send one of your worst two or three guys across to try and get Aaron Gordon, if the person who has him is feeling that way, it might be something that's worth investigating anyway, because his numbers at the moment, they're not looking too great. Jingle and Joe also in a similar boat, the 131st ranked player over the last 2 weeks. He's only getting 27 minutes a night. There's been some blowouts involved in that. And he's also struggling. There's no denying that. 9 points, 3.5 rebounds, 5.3 assists is still nice. 1.4 steals is still nice. But only 41% from the field and a weird 58% from the free throw line. They are quite anomalous, those numbers. This is a guy who's a 44% three-point shooter most seasons. He's down at 37.5 over the last 2 weeks. And all this is contributing to him playing fewer minutes and the numbers being well down. If he has dropped, I would add him in my league, but I'd also see if the person who has him is frustrated enough to trade him away for someone who is doesn't have that same top 70-ish type value that Ingles can have when everything's fully fit and firing. Bogdan Bogdanovic is the 148th ranked player over this time frame. When I was looking these numbers up, I was a little surprised that Bogdan was down this low. 13.5 points, 4 rebounds and 4 assists with 0.8 steals. His efficiency, again, is the real culprit. 42 and 72, including just 29% from 3. This is a 40% 3-point shooter throughout his rookie season, and I imagine he'll continue to be that sort of a guy. The assists are fine. The minutes are a little bit low. Some of that is skewed by today's performance, where he was benched after 10 minutes by Dave Yeager. So that's always something that is dropping those numbers down. But with that recent downturn in efficiency numbers, you could be able to get Bogdan for a fraction of his overall value. Another rookie because it hasn't been a rookie I've spoken about, but a rookie we need to talk about is Jaren Jackson Jr. I believe he was on this list last week. He's the 155th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. Only 24 minutes a night, 9 points and 5 rebounds. Still a steal and still a block, but his free throws are down at 68%. His 3-pointers are down at 26%. His 2-pointers are at only 56, which translates to 47% overall field goal percentage. It's the minutes, it's the fouls, it's the lack of efficiency at the moment, which will be driving some people crazy. I still believe in Jackson when he's a 30-minute-a-game guy, he's very easily a top 50, probably even pushing higher than that. The minutes are frustrating with the way that Bickerstaff is using him. The fouls are frustrating as well, but he is someone that you should be looking to try and buy low on if possible. Joshy Richardson, another one who is the 169th ranked player. The efficiency has been killing him. He did get back on track last game, but 34% over his last 6 games is not going to cut it, including under 30% from 3. He's been a 40% 3-point shooter in 2 of his 3 NBA seasons. He's still getting steals. He's still getting assists. The other thing that's really deserting him at the moment are the blocks. He was a block per game guy, but he's at 0.2 blocks over the last 6 games. The minutes are fine. The usage is fine. It's just the efficiency and those blocks that have dropped off. Once they come back, and I imagine they will come back, is that his numbers will start rocketing up again. A real significant buy low opportunity. Same with Jeremy Lamb, who finds himself at 175 over the last 2 weeks. Again, it's poor shooting, 23% from 3. He's averaging 14 and 6 still. The other numbers are similarly in line with what he normally does, except his steals are down also. But when those efficiency numbers come back, 45 or 46% from the field, 35% or so from 3, then he goes back from a 14-point-per-game guy to a 17-point-per-game guy to 1.63s per game, and that jumps him up pretty comfortably into the top 100. Gordon Hayward, we know he's been struggling, but he is the 180th ranked player. Only 24 minutes a night, some blowouts in there, some illnesses impacting him. The shot still isn't right, and he clearly isn't right after that leg injury from last season, but I still believe that he is a 12-team league guy, and you might be able to get him at the price of giving up whoever's in your streamer spot just to get Hayward, because, I'm sure his manager would be pretty frustrated. Same with Chris Middleton. Now, Middleton did turn it around a little bit on Monday, but he's 216th over the last 2 weeks despite playing 32 minutes a night, and because the shot isn't falling, 27% from three, 32% from the field, averaging 13.5 and 6.5. Now, you might say this is dumb, no one's going to believe this, but I've had multiple people say to me, Josh, was the first 2 months of this season a fluke from Middleton? Is this just who he is now? So there are people out there who do believe that. Now, I clearly don't believe that, so I would be doing everything in my power, throwing my three worst players at whoever has Middleton to try and get him, because I think he's a pretty comfortable top 50, if not top 30 sort of a player, who is really dealing with a finger issue at the moment and a drop in form. And the last one to talk about is the table, Montrezl Harrell, who is down at 243, mainly on the back of some really poor free throws, 52% on four attempts. But the blocks, which were sky high to start the season, have disappeared. The steal rate has dropped. He's averaging under 5 rebounds and only 11 points, and the minutes down at 24. Now, before he got ejected on Monday, he was playing a lot better, so maybe that's a sign of him turning it around. But he has not been good. He has not been at the level of a 12-team lead player over the last 2 weeks. So see how frustrated his manager is and see whether you can acquire him. And this is a guy who doesn't have a track record of being a stable, steady top 100 player. So maybe his manager thinks it was a little bit of a flash in the pan, and I would be seeing if I can acquire him as a buy low guy. On the flip side, when we're talking about guys who are potentially a little bit overrated with their current performances and you might try and execute a sell high, Kent Bazemore's the 17th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. He's been fantastic, averaging 17, 4, and 6 with 3 steals in 32 minutes. But when the artist formerly known as Torian Prince returns, I imagine Bazemore's minutes go back to 23, 24 a night. I imagine that insane steal rate and those assist numbers drop pretty significantly as well. And while you're not going to be able to get anywhere near a top 50 person back for Bazemore, if you can get any sort of top 80 guy back, that would be a big win in my opinion. The other guy we talk about in the top 20 there is the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, who's averaging 35 minutes over the last 7, 23 and 6 on 52% shooting. So the 52% will probably drop, but the usage at 25% will also drop when Ingram and Rondo returns, and the playing time has a decent chance of losing 2 or 3 minutes there to Ingram as well. So I think that Kuzma, who was really a borderline 12-team league guy at points earlier in the season, is clearly not this guy. Find whoever a Lakers fan is in your league, find a real Kuzma fan, and try and get top 70 value back. I think that's a doable trade, and it's one I'd be doing pretty quickly. Rudy Gay at number 24, he's rostered in 75% of leagues, so probably taken in most 12-teamers. 16-6-2 in his last 8 games in only 28 minutes, and it's on insane shooting. 59% from the field and 95% from the line, including a whopping 67% from 2-point land. That is not going to be able to stick. I think any sort of top 70 player you can get back for Gay would be really good value. It might be a tough one to acquire, but you can easily evoke the name of Memphis Rudy Gay as a guy who was a consistent top 40, even Sacramento Rudy Gay, a top 40 guy, and maybe you can get something back in that sort of level. I don't think he remains at this level. Same with Thaddeus Young, the 30th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 16 and 8 with 3 assists. He's shooting fantastically, 79% from the line. He's like a 60% guy most seasons, and 54% from the field. The steals is where his value really is. These minutes are high, and some of that's coincided with Victor Oladipo's absence. The usage is higher than usual, and the efficiency is obviously significantly bumped up. And I think Thad, who was really struggling to be a must-roster 12-team league guy, I think he might fall back into that zone. So see if you can get any sort of value there. Larry Nance Jr., the 36th ranked player, averaging 11 and 8 with 4 assists, 1.6 steals and 1 block. I think that's fantastic, and Nance is a must-roster 12-team league guy. But I do worry that when Tristan Thompson and then when Kevin Love comes back, that Larry Drew's going to go back to playing Nance 18 minutes a night. So I think any sort of top 80 value, top 100 value you can get for Nance in a trade, and it might be tough, but if he strings a couple more good ones together, I'd be looking to try and do that with Nance, because while I think for the next 3 weeks he can maintain top 60 numbers, after that, I think the top 100 might become a little bit harder to do. At number 40, The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, is probably a little bit higher than where he needs to be. It's the steals that are sky high, 1.8 steals over those last five games. The minutes I'm okay with, the rebounding is fine, 0.6 blocks can probably go up, and I think he's a pretty strong top 100 player. I just don't think he's a top 50 player, let alone a top 40 player. So there might be an ability for you to trade him off and sell him at the peak of his value. Bud Hield, the only Kings player to really do anything on Monday, he's averaging 22 points per game over the last 2 weeks. He's the 49th ranked player. It's coming on really high percentage shooting, 50% from the field and 46% from three on 26 usage. So some big, big numbers there from Hield. It's really coming on, his value is all from the fact he's hitting over four threes per game. That will likely drop off along with that efficiency and push Buddy back to the 80 to 90 zone. If anyone wants to buy in as a top 50 guy, I'd be happy to part ways with him there. While Spencer Dinwiddie is the 50th ranked player, really taking advantage of the fact that Caris LeVert is out. But 23 points per game over the last six, 52% from the field. This is a guy that was under 40% last season. Five assists, maybe. 23 points and 52% shooting? No way. So, yeah, Dinwiddie has a lot of fans, and rightfully so. He seems like one of the best blokes in the NBA. Love his shoes. I think it's a great story. And, you know, he was misvalued significantly by the Bulls and the Pistons, mainly the Bulls because they're terrible, and that was always a bad move even at the time. But I don't think he's quite this good, and he's definitely not this efficient of a shooter. So you see if you can get some advantage there. While Marcus Morris, another guy who's thriving at the moment, the 56th ranked player, 18 and 6 on 51 and 88% shooting. That efficiency is going to dip for Morris. He's never been that good of a shooter. He's also not likely to get 30 minutes a night every night moving forward. And that 18 points on 21 usage might find it hard once Haywood gets going. So I think any sort of top 100 player back for Marcus Morris would be a decent return if you were looking to trade him away, which I recommend you do. So there's some underperforming and overperforming guys based on the numbers over the last 2 weeks. Fantasy check-in now for the Orlando Magic. Nick Vucevic continues to chug along. He was a top 15 player for a while. That started to fall away as that 53-54% field goal has come back to where he was last season, 47% over the last 2 weeks. I think he's strong as a top 30 guy. I wouldn't be selling him off because I don't believe the Magic are going to be trading him necessarily. But those top 15 numbers were probably a bit unrealistic. Johnny Isaac, the only other Magic player in the top 100 over the last 2 weeks, and that's strictly on the back of the defense. 1.3 steals, 2 blocks per game over those 6 games. Nothing else is really all that sexy. The free throws are nice, 93% on limited attempts. If you have Isaac in 12-team leagues, which I do think that he is an option there, it's strictly for those defensive numbers. The minutes I've been pushing up as well, and he is in that starting lineup again. So I think some positive things are coming from Isaac, but the offense is a long way away. Gordon is a bit of a buy low as the 130th ranked player. His shooting is way off at the moment, and that's really impacting what he's doing. So I think he's a buy low target. While Evan Fournier, only the 134th ranked player, 16 points, 45% from the field. His assists are well down as well, only 2.2 assists over this time frame. I think he is somewhat of a buy low also, while Mo Bamba is a bit like John Isaac, except doesn't really bring the steals. A defensive stats specialist, a blocks guy, 1.6 per game. I don't think he is worth stashing in 12-team formats. Well, DJ Augustin, who is the starting point guard, he's the 230th ranked player, so he can be a fringe 12-team guy, but at the moment, he's not really, and if you drop him to the wire, no one's going to be rushing to go grab DJ Augustin in majority of standard league formats. Terry Ross also is a bit hit or miss. He's really a points and three sort of a guy with some steals thrown in. Nothing that's overly exciting, and he goes through some significant hot and cold streaks, and that is your Orlando Magic fantasy check-in. All right, guys, fantasy check-in for the Philadelphia 76ers. Jimmy Butler, back from groin injury. It wasn't a great performance from him on Monday. Still averaging 20 points over the last couple of games, but it's pushed him outside the top 40 because the other numbers haven't quite been there, especially the assists down at 2.6. Now, his assists were always going to take somewhat of a hit playing alongside Ben Simmons, but I do think they'll jump back up from there. Simmons is a top 20 guy, Embiid a top 25 player over the last 2 weeks. They're pretty much doing what they've done. Not massive impacts from Butler's arrival. TJ McConnell's had a real boost in his numbers, the 83rd ranked player over the last 2 weeks, but that's mainly on the back of Butler's absence. He was a nice assists and steals streamer. Now he goes back to being more of a 16-team league guy. While Landry Shamet continues to be one of the most consistent source of three-pointers, he's averaging 2 per game, but he does absolutely nothing else. So he's more of a plug-and-play. I need some threes. Who's going to get me 2? Oh, here's Landry Shamet. He'll continue to do that. Baby Neck Wilson Chandler is a top 150 player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 7 and 6. on 39% shooting. The value there, the reason he's in the top 50 is because he's blocking over a shot per game. That's not something he's really ever been known for, so I wouldn't be buying into him as a 12 or even as a 14-team league guy. I'd have Mike Muscala over him in 14-team formats, who's been okay around that top 50 mark, well, top 150 mark as well. Furkan Korkmaz stepped up with Jimmy Butler out, had a couple of strong games, but he's going to drop back into fantasy irrelevancy, and I don't know what his future holds, considering he will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. Not sure where he's going to go to find himself a decent enough role, but he showed enough flashes here that dynasty leaguers would want to pay a marginal level of attention to Furkan. Fantasy check-in for the Phoenix Suns, a team who executed that trade. We still haven't seen Kelly Oubre make his debut for the Phoenix Suns. I think he's an okay-ish 12-team league guy, but he does have to battle with Josh Jackson, with Devin Booker, with McCall Bridges there on the wing for minutes. And I'm not sure he's going to be getting the 32 or 33 minutes that many people hope. It could happen, of course, and the Suns would really have to limit D'Anthony Melton, Bridges, and Jackson for that to occur. So he's okay as an add. They did add Austin Rivers in that trade, but he has since been waived, so he won't play there. While D'Anthony Melton, who was playing some really good minutes prior to Devin Booker returning from injury, has only played 21 a game over those three games since Booker returned, but in the last eight games, he's averaging 26 minutes, and he is almost a top 100 player. He's 104th ranked player in that time. Now, some of the reason his minutes have been low are because Booker has returned, but also they've been giving Jamal Crawford 25 to 26 a night. I don't think that's something that's necessarily going to stick. So if Melton gets back to 25 or 26, he can retain 12-team league value. So if I've got him, I would hold him, and I just want to see what this Oubre addition does and what they end up doing with Crawford here. As for McCall Bridges, 32 a night over the last eight games. He's not really doing enough, and I think Oubre is going to hurt him, so I'm not sure he's a 12-team hold. He is a top 150 player in the last 2 weeks, averaging 10 and 4 with 1.3 steals, but give him a loss of 4 or 5 minutes there, and it's really going to take him down to be more of a 16-team league guy. TJ Warren continues to be fantastic, a top 30 player at the moment, 21 points, 2 threes a game, on elite percentages, 55 and 46, an absolute astonishment there. While DeAndre Ayton, the minutes are down because Rashawn Holmes is playing well, 14 and 10 for Ayton. The blocks still aren't there, the free throws are a little bit disappointing at 72%, but he's rebounding, and he's scoring at an okay rate. So, of course, he's a must-roster player, but I'm not sure he ever becomes a top 25 sort of a guy. Devin Booker, top 10 player at the moment in his last two games, but it is only a two-game sample size, so not a lot to read out of that, but he is going to be a pretty solid top 20 guy for the rest of the way. And that does it for your Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break. Tell your smart speaker to play the podcast Locked On Fantasy Basketball and subscribe at all the usual outlets. Follow me on Twitter @RedRock_BBall. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.